Revelation chapter number 1. We're just going to pick it up in verse number 14. Now this, just in the context, as we're reading the book of Revelation, we're reading a book that has got a whole lot of doctrine that's going to be for people who are going to be going through the Great Tribulation. But now the Bible says all Scripture is given for doctrine, that's first, then for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So anything that matches the Apostle Paul, we're going to get, but we're going to still get all the spiritual and application that has to do with reproof and correction, instruction, and righteousness through these things. And one thing I'm seeing here that I like, when in verse number 12, he turned to see the voice that's speaking with me. And guess what? It's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's old. You can look in here and you can see these references, referencing the Old Testament things, showing you that Jesus Christ is the God of the Old Testament. He's the true Christ. God manifest in the flesh.
That's right.
That's amazing to me. I mean, we've heard it a lot of times. You've heard it so many times that it almost gets old. But the fact that God Almighty, when you sit back and actually analyze that, that God Almighty became a man in order to be able to die and died for sinners. That's, and I'll tell you something, the fact that he received sinners, you know, the Pharisees said, well, he's receiving sinners and eateth well. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord he does.
Right.
Why, there's a whole lot of Pharisees in the world today that don't do that. You know what? The Pharisees weren't born Pharisees. They became Pharisees. You know what? You become a Pharisee if you become one. That's the last thing we want to do. We want, if a farmer comes in here in his overalls and wants to come in here and worship the Lord, he's welcome. You ever get the word that that's not the case? That's when you're in a Pharisaical mindset. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ stepped down and just was born into this filthy, rotten world. And walked through it, and guess what? The whole time helped people all the time he's here.
Amen.
That's amazing to me.
Yes.
Why? Because it's God. See, and then John turned to see this is the same Jesus who he laid his head on his breast and heard the heartbeat of God. Now he's turning to see him in his glory here. He's seeing him, man.
Amen.
I mean, this is the one I was following. This is God. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. It says in verse number 14, his head and his hairs were white like wool. And we talked about Sunday how that's wisdom. We went through Daniel chapter 7. He's the Ancient of Days. And Leviticus and the law tell you all rise before the hoary head. And then that's wisdom there. Well, he's got all the wisdom in the world. Then it says as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. You've heard people say he had fire in his eyes. I believe it's Daniel chapter. Let me check before you turn there. I think it's going to be 10:6. Where it says his body also was like the barrel, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of the multitude. You know what? That's the God of the Old Testament. You know, he's showing you, if you study the Bible, you cannot, unless you read a book that talks you out of it, when you study the Bible, you find out that Jesus is God.
Amen.
You find out that Jesus, this is what the world don't like, he's the way, the truth, and the life.
That's right.
Man, I tell you something, that's amazing. It says, eyes are as a flame of fire. You know what that Bible tells you? My God, our God, I should have said, is a consuming fire. That's what the Bible says. Well, his eyes are as a flame of fire. That's God. Now, that's the one that you're able to pray to. That's the one that you're able to come to when you're in time of need. And then that Bible says his eyes are as a flame of fire. You don't want to make him mad.
No.
You know, an average man, I'm going to tell you something, men can do some damage. I mean, I have seen some men who were able to, what they say, throw down if they needed to. But I'm going to tell you something, you make God mad, no man, no multitude, nobody can stand a chance. You know what? That's why I'm glad I'm on the winning side. You know, when I read that right there, I think of this right here. No matter what happens in life, I'm on the winning side. No matter what happens, the devil can throw whatever he wants to at you. But this one we're reading about right here, you know what that Bible tells you? You're dead, and the Bible says your life is hid with Christ. Here's Christ in God.
Amen.
Man, I tell you what, I won't be standing behind him when he's got all that going on. There's no enemy that could face him.
No.
And his eyes are as a flame of fire, and it's going to say that later on. His eyes are as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and his name written that no man knew but he himself. That's him coming back in Revelation.
That's right.
Chapter 19. So you got this thing of his eyes are the flame of fire. You know what that means too, spiritually speaking? He can see through you. He can tell whether you're real, and he can burn through anything. We try to put on a facade, and you got so many fake people today. Why? Because it pays to be fake today.
Right.
You know, you got all this stuff now, as far as television, everything that you see on TV is fake. We love fake. We get on there and we see all kind of special effects and everything else. So things are fake, and when you buy into it, you know what the Lord can do? He can look right through and he can see who's fake and who's not.
Amen.
And you know what you'll find out? The only one who's really true is the Lord Jesus Christ. So even, you know what the Bible says? All men are liars. We can say so-and-so is really a liar. They're fake. You know what that Bible says? All of us lie.
Amen.
We have all lied. So you know what? Jesus can see through that. But thank the Lord I'm in Him.
That's right.
And man, I mean, okay, well, you can see through all that stuff. But guess what? If you're saved, the Father sees Jesus. You look down here and it says, and his feet like unto fine brass. Now, if you take your Bible and look over here in Exodus chapter 38, fine brass. Man, I tell you something. You get to looking at some of this stuff. It's bad humbling. I can tell you. As soon as we think we deserve,
right.
If you think you deserve to be saved, you're in a mess. None of us deserved it. But thank the Lord we got it by grace.
Right.
I'll be the first to tell you, man, I'm saved by grace through faith. And you know what? I got it online in my Bible, and that not of yourselves.
Right.
I've got that. You can't do it. You can't, on your best day, you know what? You can get up in the morning and look. Actually, this morning I had a real good devotion this morning. I had a good start to the day. You can start off on your very best day in an hour in. You can say, thank the Lord, I am not drunk. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul. I can't do it alone. And verse number one. He says, and he made the altar of burnt offering. Uh-oh. So you're going to see something. We're studying brass.
That's right.
The altar, here we're talking about the burnt offering. Now, all these things in the Old Testament are pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, of shittim wood, 5 cubits was the length, 5 deaths, and 5 cubits the breadth thereof. It was 4 square and 3 cubits the height thereof. And he made the horns thereof on the 4 corners of it. The horns thereof were of the same, and he overlaid it with brass. See all this being overlaid with the burnt offerings were placed. With brass. You know what it says? And he made all the vessels of the altar, the pots and the shovels and the basins and the flesh hooks and the fire pans, all the vessels thereof, he made of brass.
How about that?
Watch this. And he made for the altar a brazen gate of network under the compass thereof, beneath, under the midst of it. And he cast 4 rings for the 4 ends of the grate of brass to be places for the staves. And he made the staves of shittim wood and overlaid them with brass. Look how much brass is in that thing. You know what that brass is? Judgment. Judgment. Verse 7, and he put the staves into the rings on the sides of the altar to bear it with all. He made the altar hollow with boards, and he made the laver of brass, and the foot of it of brass, and of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle congregation. So guess what? You come up to that brazen thing, and that brazen laver, and guess what you do? You look down there, and those looking glasses there, those what we call mirrors, and you're looking at yourself.
That's right.
You know who the problem is? You.
Right.
You know what that judgment is? You see, that's what we always want to put it on everybody else. But you know what? Ultimately speaking, you have to deal with God yourself.
That's right.
I can't deal with God for you. I can't say I get saved
that's
for you.
Right.
I can't make you serve God or anything. When those people come up there, they didn't, and the mirror wasn't tilted so they could see the one a little bit behind them. That thing was on the ground like this, and when they came up, you looking right, that's judgment. Brass. All that, everything had to do with that sacrifice and everything else. Guess what? That thing had to be made for you. You get up here in Revelation, and you think this won't get next to you. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right,
brother. His feet like unto fine brass.
That's right.
It's been polished now.
Right.
Wow. As if they burned in the furnace. Like the burning. Let me tell you something. I work with metal a little bit, so I know something. You can burn something, and that's not going to polish it out. But it polished this brass. Why? He come out finer after the judgment. His feet, yeah. What? He tread the winepress.
That's right.
Alone. He went through that judgment alone. He does all those things by himself. Why? Because you couldn't do it. You think about that. That he carried that cross because we can't carry it. He took that beating that no man else could take that beating because we couldn't take it. He took the crown of thorns. While that stuff was supposed to be us, you couldn't take that. You could not take that beating and stand there and instead of trying to save your life and say anything you could think to get out of it. And why did he have such a good testimony with Pilate? Pilate witnessed a good confession. Pilate says, hey, you know, say the right thing, I'll let you go. The Lord says, you don't have any power unless you've given of above.
That's right.
Pilate said, I don't find any fault in this. Why, he's scared to death.
Yeah.
Can you, now let me tell you this. If you've ever seen somebody get hurt real bad, and them just stand there, and you know they're hurt bad. And they're just, it's hardly not bother them. You ever seen somebody mash your hand or something, do something like that? You say, well, that'd be ain't no big deal. It'd be all right. You're thinking, man, that cat's tough. That's tough guy. All right. Well, you think about this. Here's Pilate. He's been watching people be crucified on a daily basis, watching people take beatings and stuff like that. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and He stands up there after He's beaten between unrecognizable and says, you don't have any power unless it's given you above. You know what Pilate asked him? You go back and read it. He said, where are you from? You know what? He knew he wasn't from earth.
That's right. He knows that.
Something was not right. I guarantee you, Pilate had a sinking suspicion that was the Son of God, and that was something else going on way above his head. See, it was a whole other battle going on.
That's right, brother.
You know what the Lord was getting ready to do? Take that judgment for you. Boy, that's rough.
And He did.
Go through that fire and lay on that fire, and man, I tell you something. You think. It ain't wonderful to be saved.
Amen.
You get to thinking about it and think, I couldn't have done that. I couldn't have took the heat.
That's right.
And the Lord, now you think about this too now. If you ever question God's love for you, all you gotta do is go look at the cross. Why? Because not only did He take just one person's sin, I believe He would have done it if it was just one. He took the sin of the whole world.
Amen.
On Him on the cross.
That's right.
Because He's God, He was able to take all that all at one time. He was able to take your beating for you.
That's right.
I'm amazed at that. And He comes out and it says, after all that brass, all that judgment, it says, and His feet, like unto fine, fine brass.
That's right, brother.
Man, I'll tell you something. He come out the other side. And I'm going to tell you something. The Bible said, He was offered once for sin. Never, ever, ever again Will he ever go back up? That's why you see that Roman Catholic system, and they're going up there and they're offering that every Sunday. They go up there and they have that mass. Let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ will never go back to the cross. That's why if you see these crosses, a lot of them probably don't know any better than that. You take Jesus Christ off that cross. He's not on the cross anymore.
That's right, my brother.
He's gone. He's fine brass now. I'm going to tell you something. He's clothed like this right here. And he looks like this. Why, he's a risen Savior. He's King. He's God. He's in glory. You know what glory is about? Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know what the Bible says? Who deserves all the honor and glory? Jesus Christ. You're reading when if people say, "I want to study God. I wonder what He looks like." Okay, let's read right here. You want to know what God looks like? Look here. It says, "All right, and His voice as the sound of many waters." I'll show you something I can't figure out. I know this. Psalm 29. You don't have to turn if you don't want to, but I want you to at least listen to it. There's something in here, and like I said, I'm not smart enough to figure it out, but somebody probably knows something. But I know this right here. You read verses like this, and you know, with His voice sound like many waters, and as you're turning to Psalm 29, sound like some of you, I'll read another verse too. The Bible talks about, and when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And it talks about seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. So seven thunders. All right, then you got, the voice of the Lord thundereth and stuff like that in the Bible. Well, Psalm 29 says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name." Now, when your bill is due, that means you're supposed to pay it, right?
Right.
Now, you know what? People talk about all these sins, you know, people do. Well, how about reading through the Bible and find these ones people don't talk about a whole lot? Do you give the glory due God's name? You know, people say, well, I'm good. You know, I never stole anything or anything else. Well, have you ever given God the glory that's due His name? Do you know you're supposed to give God glory?
Amen. Give Him all.
All right, well, that's what it says. All right, it don't matter who it is. It says, you know, mighty, you think you're mighty or anything else? You're not nothing like the Almighty. Give Him glory. It says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Amen.
Man, worship God. Now, one of these days, you imagine one of these days we're going to stand up there together and worship Almighty God. You talking about a worship service? Can you imagine standing up there and seeing one another, seeing each other after we've been through this down here, and seeing each other in a glorified body standing there looking, saying, isn't this amazing?
It is.
I mean, look up there. Can you believe that? There's the Lord.
Amen.
You know, we've been talking about Him for years. Now my faith becomes sight. It's going to be real. He says, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. There's a great deep up there. And man, I'll tell you something. This universe, I wish the scientists could get it. They'd be amazed. The stuff, if you read science books, you know what you come up with, especially when you read the Bible. You say, if that guy believed the Bible, he could figure all this stuff out. They wonder about this network up there and all this stuff, and they get out these telescopes and they say, I wonder why it's situated this way. And I've got science books at the house, and I'm sitting there going, if you understood how the Bible said it was laid out, you'd be able to figure out what you want to figure out. But the reason why they can't figure it out is because they can't see that God is on the top of the thing.
Amen.
And there's a great big body of water up there called the Great Deep. And the face of the deep is frozen. Why? Because if it wasn't situated like that, the glory of God would come down and burn everything up. But there's sin here. And it's going to be like that until sin is eradicated. He's confined. You know what He did? You know what you do? Whenever there's a sickness somewhere or something, guess what you do? You quarantine that thing off.
That's right.
You know what He's done? There's a sickness here and He's quarantined things off. And you can't get up there unless you go through the door.
That's right.
You can't get there unless you get, guess what? Go through the only way. You can't get there, and guess what? Unless you receive the truth all three are the one that go the same spot, but all three are required to get to heaven.
Amen.
His voice is upon those waters. It's amazing. That's amazing. It says, the God of glory thundereth.
Thunders.
Now you know what it said over in Revelation 10:4? You don't turn. There's seven thunders. When God speaks, He speaks perfection. Seven is the number of perfection in the Bible.
That's right.
And when He speaks, guess what? He speaks upon the waters like a multitude of power. Like what? Water. Water is powerful. Powerful. You can take water and harness it. And you got, we do all kind of cleaning with water. You can take the water and put it in a pressurizer, you know, pressurize it by a pressure washer and clean off all kinds of stuff. Now you think what God can do with water. You can't live your life without water. That's why it's called the water of life. It's amazing. Here's life, okay. There's your thunder right there. It says the voice of the Lord is powerful. He speaks with power. Why? Where the word of a king is, there is power. Okay, it says the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. He speaks with majesty. You know, you got these orators. One guy in Acts Bible said he stood up and he, you know, had a great speech or whatever, but he took the glory. And the Bible said the worms ate him up. You know what the worms did? Ate his flesh. That flesh is a killer whenever you try to take the glory of God. That flesh will eat you at worms. There's things that will eat you alive if you try to take God's glory. You know what's wrong with a lot of folks? You know why they got so much bitterness, so much junk wrong with them? They're not giving God the glory to do. They're taking glory belonging to God. They're making out like they can do stuff without God and get things done without God. You can't do anything without God. You can't have a good church service. You can't have a good friendship. You can't have a good marriage. You can't have good nothing without God. And He deserves all the glory for it. The Bible says, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. You ought to saw, get your Bible dictionary out and look at the cedars of Lebanon. A cedar is a tough tree. And His voice can break through anything. You know what it said, the voice of the Lord is upon them waters. You can go back and you can look at all this stuff. You know what they're going to be able to say? Just like we should be able to say now. They're going to be able to go through the most awful time mankind can think. And guess what? There's going to be all kind of voices here, there, and yonder. And there's going to be one man standing up above all others saying that He's God. You know what? They're going to say no voice is like that voice. You know what they did when they heard Jesus Christ speak? I think it was Herod sent men down there to get Him. And they come back. He said, why didn't you bring Him? And they said, never man spake like this man. Why? He's different. He's different. You know what? You know one reason people say all these, I've read books about why the King James Bible is the Word of God and all this stuff. Let me tell you something. You read that Bible and you'll find out Jesus, it's like the Lord. Because the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. There's no other Bible that sounds like the King James Bible. That's just my little country way of looking at things. I understand that. You can stand up here and you can read any new version you want to from this pulpit and you won't know which one's which. But when you read that King James Bible, you know which one it is.
Yeah.
You know exactly which one. Why? You know why right here?
Amen.
Because it's powerful. It can break through anything. You know what it do? Break through the hardest heart there is.
I guess it can.
The voice of the Lord's upon the waters. Living life. You know what it says? He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Siren, I may not pronounce that right, like a young unicorn. And look, unicorns, you have these people, and they get all bent out of shape by unicorn. There's a lot of extinct animals now. Saber-toothed tiger was a real thing. Now, if you've ever seen a rhinoceros, I don't see how anybody could not think that a unicorn was a real thing. You got this great big, and the unicorns in the Bible are powerful. You got a rhinoceros. Let me tell you, we watched a documentary the other night on rhinoceros or rhinos.
Yeah.
And man, them things can literally knock a car out of the highway.
Yeah.
They're like an armored tank, man.
They're powerful.
You know what he's telling you? If you need power in your life, you need the Word of God in your life.
That's it.
Not just that I've read it this morning. The fact that you're applying it to your life.
That's right.
We're listening in Revelation 1. We're listening to the verses that say His voice is upon the water. And we've got access to that kind of power. I think we're going to get to heaven one of these days and say, I wish I'd applied the Word of God in my life more. I would have had more power in my life. Because whenever you're going to get up there and realize when the God who spoke the creation in existence gave you His Word and said you can apply that to your life and have spiritual power. What's a power to overcome things? It says this, the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. Now look, I don't even think, I guess we could spend the rest of the time just on that right there. Divideth the flames of fire. Okay, well, what all does that mean? I just be honest with you. I don't know, but I know this right here. I know that God saves sinners from hell. And He can divide me off from going to hell. I can spiritualize it and tell you that. I can tell you that much. I know this. He can control the elements. You think about Almighty God being able to give power to somebody like Moses and call fire down from heaven, somebody like Elijah and call fire down from heaven. He could send down fire and lick up sacrifices or lightning and get the sacrifice. Look, all the power is God. What through His voice, you're reading about these different voices of God, and it said the voice of the Lord's upon the waters. You know what He's showing you? The most powerful thing is the Word of God.
Yeah.
And here we are, we're in Jesus Christ. And one of these days you'll be with Him. The Bible says you'll be ever with the Lord. And you'll have access to that power right there. You know what the Bible says? You're joint heirs.
That's right.
You imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine what all that entails. It says, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. What He's showing you is that enough power for you? Can you shake a wilderness? Now look, we can't hardly speak enough power to make our kids do what we want them to do. And we think as a human, we think we're powerful. And you know what the Bible tells you? The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. All He's got to do is speak.
Mm-hmm.
And everything does what it said, what it's supposed to do. The Lord said, I want you to go up there. He told His disciples, He said, I want you to get a donkey which never a man sat.
That's right.
Try that sometime.
Yes, sir.
Me and Brother Mike, I don't reckon we can do that.
No, I don't think I'm going to try.
I don't think I'm going to try that. But you know what? The Lord said, bring him here.
But the Lord said,
I'll
try.
Well, hey, that's right. He's control. Look at verse 9. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds a calf. He can bring life. You know what? A lot of people would think, well, I've got this and I've got that. And my chickens are doing well. My cows are doing well. What if you had to live off of them? What if you had to go back? You sure be praying, hey, I hope we have some calves. You know what people say? Wonder what happened with Jacob. You know, you had that whole deal with Jacob and Laban back then.
That's right, brother.
Guess what the Lord was doing?
That's right.
Blessing Jacob.
Yeah.
You know what the Lord can do? Bless you.
Yes, He can.
He can bless you in ways that man could never bless you.
Exactly.
Right. He maketh the He brings life. Why? Just a little thing like making a cow have a little calf so that it would help you and your family. He's able to do that. That's the Word of God. God speaks and He says, I want that to be done.
Yes.
Now you know what? Of all that stuff, and it says, and discovereth the forest, and in His temple doth everyone speak His glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Well, there it is again. Now you know what it's talking about. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Okay, we know one of these days that's going to come true with Israel. But here it is. You've just seen all these things about the powerful voice of the Lord. We can just brag and brag and brag and brag on it. And all this power the Lord has. But you know what He doesn't do? He doesn't make you serve Him.
That's exactly right.
He gives you a free will. He has all the power. If He wanted to, He can say, I want you to do what I want you to do. But He does not have robots and He does not have puppets. So you know what? He leaves it up to you.
That's right.
And He says, I've got all this power. But you know what? I want you to do what you do for me because you love me.
That's right. Yeah.
Y'all, ain't that wonderful to have that kind of, that He put that kind of power in your hands for you to say, you know what? I'm going to say no to this to this thing my flesh wants to do, and I'm going to say yes to the Lord.
That's right.
That's what it boils down to. What are you going to do with your free will?
That's right.
Obey the voice of the most powerful, loving, majestic voice there is. And that voice says, oh, I want to have fellowship with you.
That's right. Oh.
You imagine the most powerful voice could control all those things. Make the hinds a calf, can shake the wilderness and everything else. And he says, I'd like to be your friend. And people say, You know, yeah. I remember when I was in school, we'd write notes and we'd say, would you like to be my friend? You know, he'll yes or no. I don't know if they probably don't do it no more, but we do that. They probably write you a text message, you know. And you write this little friend, you pass a little girl maybe or something like that a little letter, and you know, you get it to her and say, would you like to be my friend? And you get it back and it says, no. Like, man, it's simple. No, you're like, well, wonder what I did. Well, you know what? We think about that stuff, and here's the Lord. He gives you a love letter right here.
Yes, He does.
And He said, all you have to do is just trust me.
That's right.
And people read that and say, nah. And you wonder why He comes back with eyes and a flame of fire.
That's right, my brother.
After after thousands of years of grace,
right.
Grace, putting up mercy, 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 mercy. And people say, well, why is He mad? Maybe He shed His blood for you and you turned Him down for thousands of years and you killed and pillaged and destroyed His earth and everything else. And He says, okay, I'm coming back and I'm mad about it. And the Lord's like, why are you mad? You know what I don't like? If you've ever grown up with very much of a temper, this is what gets you. You try to be nice to folks and you try to be nice. And you should. And you won't be a nice person. You won't be known as being a nice person. And then all of a sudden, somebody comes up and they just start making you mad. And you're like, well, maybe I can walk off, you know. And they just keep trying to make you mad. And then whenever you get mad and you do something about it, they say, well, I didn't mean to make you mad. Yeah, you just didn't think anything was going to happen when you made me mad. See? Now, you know what the Lord does?
Yeah, that's right, brother.
The Lord says, I want to be your friend. And I want you to go to my heaven. He wants
Amen.
You to. You know what the world says? No, I don't want it.
Yeah, that's right.
A loving, wonderful Savior.
That's right.
Just turned down daily,
right.
Daily,
that's
daily.
Right.
And man, it'd be different if He didn't want. He wants people to be saved so bad, the Father sent His only begotten Son. Y'all, I was listening to the Bible today. I'm just going to tell you, I'm trying my best to get further than you. I was listening to the Bible today, and I'm going to tell you, there's people sitting in this room. I love y'all just like family. Brother Tommy, you know that.
That's right.
Love you just like my papa.
Amen.
But y'all, the fact that could I give my son or my daughter or one of my children, that'd be, you imagine being in a decision like that? And say, well, that's something for somebody you love. But I'm going to tell you something. I hadn't arrived spiritually where I could say somebody who's unlovable, somebody who's wicked, a sinner, and say, I'll give my son for that person. Man, I tell you something. The Bible says we're all ungodly. The Bible said all have sinned. And He gave His only begotten Son. Man, I tell you something. That right there makes you love the Lord. You say, Lord, I didn't deserve one thing and You gave Your only begotten Son and I get to have fellowship with this one we're reading about. The fact that, do you realize when you go to prayer, it's like, this is amazing and I can go anytime I want to and talk to Him.
Amen.
I can go anytime I want to and look, maybe I'm not hearing, you know, like the rush of those waters, but I tell you what, I'd rather hear that still small voice any day than I had that mighty rushing water just sound like something, like I said, Niagara Falls or something. I'd rather hear just a peaceful sound say, yes, everything's going to be okay.
Amen.
I'd just soon hear that. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord who could speak like that right there says, hey, remember I love you. Remember I died for you.
That's
remember
right.
You trusted me. You remember that right there? You remember that time you was going through this? And you remember the time you did that? And I remember that answer prayer. You didn't think I was going to answer that prayer, and I answered that prayer. You remember that? And He starts reminding you. And that fellowship comes along. You say, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. Those mighty, mighty, that mighty voice of those many waters. We'll go one more verse or two here. It says, and He had in His right hand seven stars. That's amazing. Have right hand seven stars. Well, we know in verse number 20 it said the stars are the angels of the seven churches. So He's got them in His hand, so to speak.
That's right.
You know what? And people could get comfort out of that if they's going through a tribulation and realize there's all kind of evil angels going on. The Bible said the sons of God, it's going to be like the days of Noah. And you know what the Bible tells you? That people are going to be messing around with genetics. And you know what the scary thing is? One of these days, all this stuff they're tampering with now, one of these days they're going to get permission just like they did back then. And they're going to say, I wish we could figure this out. I wish we could figure this out. And somebody, a man's going to come up and say, I can show you how to do it. Just mix your DNA with our DNA. Something along those lines. And the world's going to go, how wonderful. Dumb.
That's right.
Why? You're not going by the Bible.
That's right.
You know what? People are so infatuated with youth. So if you could come up with something tomorrow that would come up with a pill that add 10 years to people's life, you'd be an instant billionaire.
Right now.
I mean, right then. Hey, and the thing is, you wouldn't even have to deliver on it. Just probably just come up and say, this pill will add 10 years to your life. There ain't no telling how many people will buy it.
Yeah.
Why? Wanting what you can get for free. You know what? Best thing to do, just get it for free.
That's right.
Because why? He's got the angels in His hand. Look, the good angels are in His hand. And He knows which ones are right. He says, seven stars, and out of His mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. What's that? Sword. That's the Word of God, the Word of His mouth. The Bible tells you in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
My brother. Amen.
That Word that you have, you know what that is? It tells you the Word of God. Guess what? The Word of God is coming out of His mouth like a sharp two-edged sword, and He's speaking the Word of God, but it's a sword.
Amen.
People say, what's He going to fight with? His Word. All He's got to say is die.
That's it.
Lay down. Knee bend. And they'll do it. All He's got to say to the world is just go out of existence. And if He said it, whatever He says has to go.
Amen.
You wonder why Jesus kept silent so often?
Right.
You read through the Gospels, He couldn't say. He has to be specific. That's why He had to say, Lazarus, come forth.
That's right.
Why? If he said come forth, everybody just shot out of the graves, man.
Amen. I believe that.
That's how powerful His voice is.
Amen.
That's my Savior. I get to talk about Him, man. I tell you what, it's a blessing. It says, and His countenance was as the sun shineth in His strength. You know what He's called in Malachi chapter 4? The sun of righteousness. You know what? Paul said, I met Him on the Damascus Road. He said, it was brighter than the sun.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
I mean, can you get any better than that?
That's right.
He said, well, that sun's bright. Let me tell you what, that sun will blind your eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, guess what? I can look at the Lord Jesus Christ all I want to. You can get in this Word of God right here and fellowship with Him and pray over your Bible and read this thing, even if you don't read a verse a day or something, and spend time with the Lord in the sunshine. And guess what it'll do? It's good for you. You spend time with Him. The sun puts off, gives you vitamin D. And vitamin D is a very, very good thing for you to have. It helps fight off infection.
Right.
Now, I wonder why it's set up that way. Do you know it's a proven fact that a lot of people who are not exposed to enough sunshine, you can get very sickly? Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, spiritually speaking, if you're not exposed to the sun enough, you can get sick. That tells you the Lord Jesus Christ, the sun shining in His strength. If you want strength, guess what? You need to be walking in the light.
Yes.
As He is in the light. and you have fellowship one with another.
That's right.
It's good for you to walk in the light. You say, well, how hard is it just walk? When he don't want you to run, hey, you can run if you want to. Run the race. I understand all that, but you can only run so long.
That's right.
You need to run a little bit, and then you need to walk.
That's right.
Run when you need to run. Walk when you need to walk. Stand when you need to stand.
That's right.
But stand in the sunshine. Guess what it'll do? It'll strengthen you.
That, yes, it will.
I guarantee it will. We'll close out, Brother.